number of people that come in at one time, and we have to direct them and tell them where to go. But I'm sure all of us are so familiar with this that we don't even think it's an issue. But it is an issue.
Helping cruise ship passengers find their way around Haines, and one local team hangs on in the gold medal tournament. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. Haines is making it easier for pedestrians, particularly those off cruise ships, to make their way in town. A borough signage project started last year sets a goal of adding maps and signs around town. And separately, the Department of Transportation plans to install sidewalks along part of the old Haines Highway. Deborah Schnabel is one of the people working on the signage project for the borough. She updated the borough and community in a presentation at Tuesday's assembly meeting.
There is nothing that encourages a pedestrian to think that there is something that is going to happen at the end of this road or a destination that they're going towards. So signage is will help us to keep people on a path and not feel insecure.
Almost 1 year ago, architects offered a report on Haines downtown revitalization. That study led to the borough making a decision about the old primary school, brought in the public to inspect design ideas for downtown beautification, and led to this wayfinding and signage project.
Part of the principles of the program were to create consistent elements, to define the central zone for the commercial area, to establish continuity of street fronts and fill in the gaps, of which there are increasing gaps constantly, and providing strong links to the other community areas. All of these are part of wayfinding. And the word wayfinding, I think, is kind of intuitive. Signage is a part of wayfinding.
Schnabel said the architectural study pointed out that Haines is unique in that it has four entry points, as opposed to one main street that many small towns have.
In Haines, we have we come in from the highway, we come in from the ferry terminal, which essentially brings you up 2nd Avenue, you come in from the boat harbor, or you come in from the cruise ship dock. So we have intersecting traffic patterns, unlike other communities in Southeast Alaska.
The area where the signage group first focused is the route from the cruise ship dock to town. The signs would help visitors identify landmarks they want to visit and not miss downtown Haines.
It's not the most important, but it seems to be almost most pressing just because of the number of people that come in at one time, and we have to direct them and tell them where to go. But I'm sure all of us are so familiar with this that we don't even think it's an issue, but it is an issue.
The architectural firm MRV out of Juneau said that upgrading signage should be a top priority in downtown planning and recommended an $80,000 budget to do so.
And in fact, the FY11 budget does have $80,000.
The signage committee is still finalizing the overall design, but the idea is to install big You Are Here maps based on the vacation planner map, maybe 3x3 feet with icons on it to direct people who have little to no familiarity with Haines and may only be here for a short visit.
Wayfinding is really interesting. The more I get into it and learn about some of the issues that are involved, it's really a study in human behavior and the sense of feeling oriented and the sense of feeling secure. Not everybody really likes to just, you know, get out there and see what's, you know, behind that rock or up that hill or whatever. A lot of people look at that and think, well, I'm not going up there.
The Alaska Department of Transportation is also involved in the process since the state of Alaska owns major roads in Haines, meaning signs must follow state and federal standards. Borough Manager Mark Ernest said at Tuesday's meeting that that may have limited the options for Haines.
We cannot put in signs that aren't approved by the State Department of Transportation, and they are under constraints with respect to federal highway standards because the Federal Highway Administration funds are used for these roads.
DOT was also involved in creating signage for Ketchikan and Juneau. Along those lines, the Haines signs will also assist motorists to find their destinations.
Through signage, we can help people to find downtown and help to disperse our traffic. And if we go this route, even if it's just for an experiment, of seeing if we can direct traffic down through Second Avenue that'll put the RVs at the visitor center where they can park and walk into Main Street instead of, you know, wandering around Main Street all the way down to the, you know, boat harbor and then wondering what to do next.
Local artists at Alaska Indian Arts in Haines could be creating part of the signs, Schnabel said. She added the goal is to have signs installed around town by early summer. In a separate project, DOT will build sidewalks around the cruise ship dock next spring. Keith Karpstein with the department says they were originally going to install a sidewalk from 3rd to Front Street this summer, but moved the project to a year from now so tourist season would not be interrupted. They'll also tie the construction in with more sidewalk work on Beach Road to improve pedestrian safety. An international expert says a Southeast Alaska mineral deposit could become one of the nation's most important rare earth element mines. Owners of the Bokan Mountain site say they're proceeding in hopes of developing an area that once held a uranium mine. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld has more.
Jack Lifton helps large industries find metals for high technology products. He's also a senior fellow at the Institute for the Analysis of Global Security, which focuses on energy issues. He had a message for the recent Alaska Miners Association annual convention in Juneau.
You're sitting on a real gold mine in this state, and that gold mine is a rare earth mine.
Lifton and his Illinois-based company, Technology Metals Research, monitor the search for rare earths. They're used in cell phones, car engines, computer hard drives, and even compact fluorescent lights. He showed the conference a chart of potential mine sites. The top American prospect is on the southern end of Southeast Alaska's Prince of Wales Island.
United States, if it's going to be self-sufficient in rare earth metals, must develop the deposits which have been discovered in the Bokan Mountain, Alaska area. There isn't any other choice.
Self-sufficiency is important because China mines and produces most rare earths, and it substantially reduced exports. Ucore Rare Metals has been exploring the Bokan Mountain site for several years. The Canadian company's Mike Power says it spent a lot of time and money to find out what's there.
To date, the company's completed 78 holes for a total of 8,500 meters. They've also excavated 45 hand trenches and channel samples across the zone, mapped 25 individual vein systems.
Ucore recently released an independent resource estimate prepared by Aurora Geosciences of Yellowknife Northwest Territories. The report recommends further exploration and associated efforts.
Although there is no economic deposit at this point, we firmly believe that this will eventually be mined, and we want to pursue a parallel track to development. So engineering studies have begun, and also, very important, of course, environmental investigations and permitting, without which nothing can happen.
Rare earths are a suite of elements used in a wide variety of consumer electronics, industrial processes, and motorized equipment. Magnets are among the best-known products. Lifton of Technology Metals Research says rare earths allow magnets to be small and non-plastic. He stresses their use in cars, where they can be found in at least 40 devices, from alternators to starters to sensors.
We would not have miniaturized devices of any kind, communications, computer, vehicles, anything without rare earth metals.
The highest percentage are for as chemical catalysts, followed by metallurgy and alloys.
David Zumigala works for the Alaska Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys in Fairbanks. He says rare earths also have numerous military applications, and they could help make wind turbines more efficient, allowing them to move from gearbox to magnetic devices.
So all of a sudden, by going towards green technology and talking about something that's simpler to maintain, works longer without maintenance, all of a sudden you're looking at a vastly increase in the amount of rare earths that would have to be used.
Well, it's several years off. Backers say a Bokan Mountain mine could provide needed jobs in a depressed area of the state. And Lifton says rare earths refining, now only done in China, could get a stronghold nearby.
There's no mystery to developing the technology to take those rare earths in Ketchikan and have a truck or a boat leave Ketchikan with rare earth magnets in it. It's just about time and effort and capital.
Any mining attracts scrutiny. Developing an area with an old uranium mine raises extra concerns. The Southeast Alaska Conservation Council points to radioactive contamination in a nearby salmon stream and bay. It's from the Ross Adams mine, which closed 40 years ago. SEAC wants a cleanup plan for those problems, as well as restrictions on further pollution as part of any new mine. UCOR, the developer, says it will meet terms of environmental regulations. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
The Northern Lynn Canal is down to one team in the gold medal basketball tournament in Juneau after Kluckwan Masters were knocked out by Cake Wednesday night 64-62. That leaves Huna, Klawak, Yakutat, and Cake to battle for the trophy in the oldest age bracket in the tournament. With the three Kluckwan teams out, there's still a chance for a local champion. Haynes Merchants, last year's runners-up for the B-bracket title, play Angoon Thursday night for a chance to play the championship game. Whoever loses that game will still have a shot at the championship through the loser's bracket. Also vying for a spot in that last game of the tournament at the time of this report was Heidelberg and Huna. I'm Tara Bicknell for KHNS.